you. I'm Mark Jovo Plasareal. This is TheVealPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from Barcelona. Today is Thursday, the 16th of April. On this date in 73, Masada, the Jewish fortress, falls to the Romans after several months of siege, ending the Great Jewish Revolt. 1862, in Washington, D.C., a law ending slavery comes into force. 1917, Lenin returns after 10 years in exile. 1919, the Polish army captures Vilnius in modern Lithuania. The Lithuanians remember that, by the way. 1943, the hallucinogenic effects of LSD discovered by mistake in Switzerland, where a few years before Lenin had been hanging out before he showed up back in Russia. Switzerland once again showing up in the news. 1947, an ammonium nitrate fertilizer explosion kills 581 people in Texas City, Texas. 1961, in a nationally broadcast speech, Cuban leader Fidel Castro declares that he is a Marxist-Leninist and that Cuba is going to adopt communism. 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. writes his letter from a Birmingham jail. 1990, Jack Kevorkian participates in his first assisted suicide, 2007. Bearing several handguns and lots of ammunition, a student at Virginia Tech kills 32. Birthdays today are Anatole France, Wilbur Wright, Charlie Chaplin, Spike Milligan, Peter Ustinov, Kingsley Amis, Bobby Vinton, and the winningest football coach in NFL history and Wesleyan University alum, Bill Belichick. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast was written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Politra column this week is about bringing regions into the Georgian Parliament. Currently, there are 150 members of Parliament in the Georgian Parliament, half are proportional and half from majoritarians, proportional meaning from party list, half are majoritarians, like in the U.S. or U.K., where the winner takes all for an individual seat. Now, the Constitutional Commission in Georgia is meeting weekly. Head of Parliament, Datu Supashvili, is enthusiastically moving things along, we hope, and they should do it this way. Currently, Georgian constituencies are districts or rayons, which vary wildly in population, with Goldani, Tbilisi, and Zugdidi having 10 times the number of people per voter as Dushetti or Svaneti. The way to solve it is to give each region, the traditional Georgian regions, a party list with at least two representatives or more, depending on its population. So Imereti gets 11, Guria gets 3, and then have proportional lists within the region. That way people will have representatives where they're from, and the population gets, it's one person, one vote. It would strengthen political parties. It's by far the best way to do it. Everybody would love it, and let's see if the dream will allow that to go through. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. We got a clarification that the Synthetic Theater is in Crystal City, where the Pentagon is, near Washington, D.C. If you'd like to make another comment or ask a question, go to TheVealPod.com or send us an email at TheVealPod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story, on the morning of the 10th of April, police arrested Shalva Abuladze, the man suspected of killing two policemen and wounding two others in two separate shootings in Borjomi in January and in Tbilisi in April. He is charged with murder of police officers, attempted murder, and possession of illegal arms. Abuladze and the defense did not object to his detention during a Tbilisi court hearing, citing that Abuladze would otherwise be in danger on the outside. The pretrial hearing is scheduled for the 22nd of May. As a reminder, Abuladze is a former convict and spent 7 years in prison for attempted murder charges. He was released early in November 2013 because his prison term was halved as a result of a large-scale amnesty, and then he was granted a pre-term release by a special pardon commission. During the hearing, Abuladze said that his biggest enemy is Mamuka Khazaradze, the head of TBC Bank, a journalist from the not-so-reputable newspaper Asavalda Savaldi, says he knows Abuladze and has often used him as a source. He claims that Abuladze was a victim of a plot organized by Khazaradze of TBC Bank. He says the suspect was subject to threats and pressure by Khazaradze after participating in a demonstration against the Borjomi mineral water factory, which Khazaradze and TBC were involved in the ownership of, after, I think, selling it, most of it, to a Russian company in October 2014. He said that the head of police in Borjomi made false rape charges against Abuladze, that the whole village then turned against him, and there was a manhunt for him. It was during the course of the manhunt that Abuladze shot and killed a police officer on the 23rd of June. Yosef Aldosivaldi journalist Chubinidze was brought in for questioning about his claims. TBC Bank denied the accusations against their head. On the 14th of April, Abuladze claimed that he was subject to physical and psychological pressure into pleading guilty, and that the real killer is still on the loose. He only admits to the charge of illegally purchasing, keeping, and wearing a gun, but denies committing murder. As a note, on the 9th of April, before Abuladze was caught, Prime Minister Khadabashvili and Defense Minister Janelidze said that the government is planning a ruthless policy towards crime. Khadabashvili promised publicly that the state will be merciless to those who are released on amnesty but return to criminal activities. Well, that's good. Following up on last week's story, two youths from Panghisi Gorge who left to fight in Syria on the 2nd of April have contacted their families. They called their parents and said that they're fine. They're going through training, haven't seen any fighting yet. They also sent a picture of themselves sitting on some mats in fighting gear with guns, the Islamic State flag behind them with one index finger raised. Reportedly, relatives, one of the boys told journalists that the youth asked his parents for help getting back home. Meanwhile, there are reports of another young man, Jamlet Borchashvili, age 19, from the village of Dumasturi in Panghisi, who is missing and allegedly headed for Syria. His mother told journalists that he packed up and went to Tbilisi earlier this week. They haven't heard from him since and don't know if he's crossed the border. According to Duisi-based NGO Integration Fund of the Caucasus People, the border guards and security officials at the airport in Tbilisi are to blame for letting the two teenagers fly to Turkey. They iterated that the boys only have ID cards and not passports and are underage and were clearly not asked by airport security services of the Interior Ministry where they were traveling to and to whom were they going to see. On the 15th of April, Prime Minister Khadabashvili said the government cannot stop people from going to Syria to fight. That's their own choice, but that they are monitoring what is happening. Georgia and Orthodox Christians celebrated Easter on Sunday, the 12th of April. Friday, the 10th of April, and Monday, the 13th, were public holidays. On the 13th of April, municipal transport was free of charge to make accessible people visiting cemeteries, since traditionally the Monday after Easter people visit cemeteries. One man died while playing the traditional Easter ball game Leloburti in Shuhuti in Guria. Doctors believe the case of death was shortness of breath. Is that a cause of death? Shortness of breath? Well, I don't know. On the 14th of April, it could be a symptom, but on the 14th of April, President Mark Velashvili pardoned 78 prisoners in connection with Easter. 57 prisoners were released. The remaining 21 had their sentences reduced. The Pardon Commission considered 460 cases in total. Foreign ministers of Denmark, Poland, and Sweden made an official visit to Tbilisi on the 14th of April. They reiterated their support for Georgia's European integration process and stressed the need to continue reforms. The visit comes less than 6 weeks before the EU's Eastern Partnership Summit in Riga, where Tbilisi wants the EU to agree to grant Georgia visa-free travel with the Schengen area. While the three foreign ministers voiced political support towards visa liberalization with Georgia, they stressed that the final decision will depend on the European Commission's report, which will detail how Georgia is fulfilling its reform commitments under the Visa Liberalization Action Plan, or VLAP. Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström said there has to be realistic expectations from the Riga summit because all the benchmarks set in Georgia's Visa Liberalization Action Plan should be met, but that there are still reforms necessary in the judiciary and when it comes to migration. As a note, if Georgia's progress is assessed positively and the European Commission recommends lifting visa requirements, it must then be approved by the European Parliament and the EU member states. Interpol revoked the red notice seeking the arrest and extradition of former Justice Minister Zura Adeshvili. Last year, Interpol announced an international search for Adeshvili along with former Defense Minister Dato Kezarashvili. There's no information about Adeshvili in the Interpol database anymore, the Chief Prosecutor's Office said on the 15th of April, that it was not asked by Interpol for additional information before the decision to reverse the red notice, and that they were therefore unable to present additional argumentation for continuing the search for Adeshvili. According to Interpol, the reason they called off the search is that Adeshvili has been given refugee status by a certain country, quote. According to one lawyer, it's unheard of that a person is removed from the Interpol search notice without the participation of the state in question, according to the agreement states signed with Interpol. As a reminder, there are three criminal investigations against Adeshvili, one concerning torture of prisoners, another about a plan to bankrupt Khartoum Bank. The third is about the dispersal of an anti-government rally in November 2007 and illegally breaking into and shutting down Imedi TV. Adeshvili left Georgia after the parliamentary elections in 2012. There were claims that Adeshvili has received political asylum in Hungary. Later, he was spotted in Kiev 2-3 months ago. Following up on last week's story, Georgian and Russian civil aviation authorities have agreed to expand direct flights between the two countries following talks which concluded last week. Georgian air carriers will be able to conduct flights on a regular basis to Moscow, St. Petersburg, Samara, Ekaterinburg, Sochi, Rostov-on-Don, and Mineralnyevodi. Along with Tbilisi, Russian carriers will be able to conduct regular flights to Kutaisi and Batumi. The agreement envisaged 18 flights per week from each side of the Tbilisi-Moscow route during the winter period, 21 in summer. The number of flights between other cities will be unrestricted. According to the economy ministry, the number of airline passengers between Russia and Georgia increased 49% year-on-year in the period between November 2014 and February 2015. As a note, Georgian Airways has long been against Russian air carriers carrying out large number of flights and says the agreement fits only the interests of the Russian airlines. The general director claims that the economy ministry's figures on airline passengers are overinflated and that there is no need for 18 to 21 flights per week from each side. On the 10th of April, President Margvelashvili met with Pope Francis in Rome. Margvelashvili is on an official visit to Riga, Latvia, until the 17th of April. And on the topic of Margvelashvili's trips, he was in Tokyo a little while ago, asked Prime Minister Abe for a favor, and it was just granted. The Diet of Japan, their parliament, has enacted a bill to change the official Japanese name for the country of Georgia from Gurugia, which derives from the Russian term Gruzia, to Georgia, based on the English pronunciation of the former Soviet Republic's name. Georgia and the Eastern Partnership countries signed an agreement with EU member states on cooperation on border management institutions. The agreement aims to strengthen and facilitate cooperation in the education and training of border guards, establish efficient integrated border management system for the controlled and secure borders. The agreement is part of the EU-funded EAP-SIPPAP project, which stands for Supporting the Implementation of the Prague Process Action Plan for Cooperation in the Fight Against Cross-Border Crime and Irregular Migration. A lot of action there. Some banks will be cutting interest rates on dollar and euro savings deposits. From the 1st of May, Liberty Bank will reduce interest rates on U.S. dollar deposits from 4% to 3%, and on euro deposits to 2%. TBC Bank already decreased them in January 2015 from 2% to 1%. In addition, they lowered interest rates on term deposits. A one-year dollar deposit is now 2%, down from 4%. And for a two-year, it is now 4.25%, down from 5.2%. Public Defender has challenged the country's leading online employment website, jobs.ge, for using discriminatory wording on its job vacancy descriptions. Public Defender Nanuashvili asked them to develop regulations that will eliminate gender discriminatory wording. According to research by NGO Article 42 of the Constitution, 71,360 job vacancies were posted on the site from 2010 to October 2014. The wording pleasant appearance was used 1,589 times. The word man was used 1,088 times. And the word stable, 780 times. And the word woman, 607 cases. Not sure about the problem with stable, but okay. The public defender stated that because jobs.ge did not filter the vacancies that contained discriminatory words, it was encouraging employers to promote discriminatory vacancies. That's very interesting. We'll see if we can get a little more information about that. The Ministry of Economy announced a competition for a company to lay fiber optic cables all over the country so that everyone in the country has access to high-speed internet. Interested parties are invited to apply for the competition before the 5th of May. The winning company will be revealed on the 14th of June. The selected company will be tasked with establishing a trunk cable system that will ensure top-quality internet for 2,000 settlements within 3 years. Providers will then be able to bring internet to individual users. It's estimated that currently about 40% of Georgian population has access to the internet. That's great, except there's a giant fiber cable right under Rustaveli and tons of fiber all over Georgia, as far as I know, controlled largely by railways, or at least it was at some point by the railways company, which is mostly government-owned. It is completely impossible to get it from Rustaveli into offices for the last, 30 meters. And other places that are very near the fiber don't seem to be able to get it due to administrative BS and monopolistic behavior by the giant gatekeepers. So might want to work on that aspect of it rather than just laying more cable. According to a recent poll by Wind Gallup International, Georgia is among the most religious countries in the world, with 93% of respondents saying they consider themselves religious. Other highly religious countries are Morocco, Turkey, Bangladesh, Thailand, and Armenia. However, important to note is that they were not able to poll many countries in the Middle East and Africa. Not sure if Gallup was being cheap or lazy, or if the religions of those countries encourage practitioners to attack people who ask questions about religion or what the deal is, but it was not a particularly complete survey. World Economic Outlook, a survey conducted by the IMF, has projected Georgia's real GDP growth will be down by 2% in 2015, 3% in 2016, will only reach 5% in 2020. They write that the downward revisions in the CIS are driven by Russia, whose economy is expected to contract by 3.8% this year. They explain that Armenia and Belarus are projected to enter into recession in 2015, while Georgia's growth will slow. Back in November 2014, the IMF estimated that in 2015, growth in Georgia should reach 5% as the economy recovered from a slowdown in 2013, as well as being supported by stronger consumption, private investment, and exports. From the 7th to the 9th of April, there was a trade delegation from the Netherlands and Georgia. They included representatives from the following sectors: agriculture and food, trust management, meaning the legal organization of trusts, industry, life sciences and health, education, water and water management, dredging, and real estate. Georgia joined the Permanent Court of Arbitration, or PCA, an international organization based in The Hague in the Netherlands that facilitates arbitration and other forms of dispute resolution between states. Georgia is the 117th member state of the PCA. On the 15th of April, the European Parliament passed a resolution that uses the word genocide to describe the 1915 mass killing of Armenians in the Ottoman Empire. It also says that Ankara should open its archives and, quote, come to terms with its past to recognize the Armenian genocide, end quote, and begin reconciliation between Turkish and Armenian peoples. The Ministry of IDP says it will grant one-time monetary aid to IDP families who bought houses and apartments with mortgage loans before the 1st of January 2015. The maximum amount offered is 20,000 lari per family. Families have until the 1st of May to apply. The agreement on a visa-free regime between Georgia and Brazil entered into force on the 10th of April. The agreement allows ordinary passport holders to travel into each other's countries for tourism or business purposes for 90 days in any 180-day period. On the 16th of April, Azerbaijan sentenced human rights activist Rasul Jafarov to 6.5 years in prison. He's found guilty of tax evasion, illegal entrepreneurship, and abuse of office in what many believe, meaning everybody knows, was a politically motivated verdict. Jafarov was arrested in August 2014 after he announced plans for a campaign to draw attention to human rights abuses by authorities in Azerbaijan ahead of the June 2015 European Games. Amnesty International has recognized Jafarov as a prisoner of conscience. Meanwhile, the Pan American Center, part of the worldwide association that defends those who are harassed, imprisoned, and killed for their views, has announced that jailed Azerbaijani investigative journalist Khadija Ismailova will receive the 2015 Penn Barbara Goldsmith Freedom to Write Award. Health Minister David Sergeyenko signed an agreement with a British consultancy firm, Global Alliance for Health and Social Compact Limited, to reform the country's healthcare system and bring it in line with European standards. Health Ministry said that the deal was done within the frameworks, the association agreement signed by the EU last year. According to Global Alliance, a UK firm, the goal will also be to reduce healthcare costs. They're also doing work in Ukraine. Also, according to the health minister, the money saved by the government's proposal to cut administrative spending and tighten its belt will be primarily spent on emergency assistance and rural outpatient clinics. He said the savings amounted to 300,000 lari. Refugee ministry said that Georgia is now granting refugee or humanitarian status to 95% of asylum seekers from Syria and Iraq escaping the Islamic State. However, from 2012 until now, 217 people from Iraq were granted humanitarian status and 77 refugee status. But since 2012, 2,114 people from Iraq addressed Georgia for asylum. The refugee ministry noted that most people were refused in the initial stage because at the time they had the possibility of safely moving to another city or place to live within their own countries. Now that IS covers a lot of Iraqi territory, they are not refusing the applications. Yeah, I don't know. I think they had other reasons for denying those, but okay. According to Geostat, prices on food, drink, tobacco, and cellulose paper products increased in March 2015 by 1% compared to the previous month and by 7.2% compared to March 2014. Also, according to Geostat, the cost of subsistence-level living in Georgia has increased in the first 3 months of 2015, figures showing the minimum subsistence level for an able-bodied male was almost 170 lari in March 2015, about 7 lari higher than in February 2014. For an average family, the minimum subsistence level reached 272 lari in March 2015, up about 3% from March 2014, when the same data was 261 lari. According to statistics by Georgia's AIDS and Clinical Immunology Research Center, there were 169 new cases of HIV in the country in the first 3 months of 2015. As of the 1st of April, a total of 4,864 HIV cases were registered. Of these, 3,581 were male patients, 1,283 were female. The morning of the 12th of April, a gas leak explosion killed a woman and damaged houses in Guldani in Tbilisi. On the 16th of April, police arrested three individuals for attempting to illegally cross people through the border into Turkey at Sarpi checkpoint. One Georgian citizen and an Uzbekistan citizen were hidden in a roof compartment of a marshutka. According to research by U.S. accountancy and advisory organization Grant Thornton, women occupy more senior management positions in Georgia than most other countries. They report that their report, Women in Business, The Path to Leadership, reveals increasing numbers of women were employed in top roles in Eastern Europe. 40% of senior business roles in Russia are occupied by women, the highest in the world and almost double the global average of 22%. Next is Georgia with 38, then Poland, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. At the bottom of the list is Japan, which has 8% of senior management roles occupied by women. The 14th of April, Georgia marked Deda Ana, or Mother Tongue Day. On the 14th of April, 1978, hundreds of students and teachers took to the streets in Tbilisi protesting the Soviet regime's decision to remove words in the Georgian constitution that would guarantee Georgia as the country's official language. On Dede and Ade, the Ministry of Culture launched a live books campaign to promote reading and literature in the regions. With the campaign, more than 70 modern writers will visit the regions and meet with local communities in schools and libraries for poetry readings and discussion. A first group of five writers already hosted meetings in the Kartli region in the towns of Nikozi, Gori, Khashuri, Borjomi, Kareli, and Kaspi. Starting on the 11th of April, Tbilisi is hosting the 2015 European Weightlifting Championship. At the Sports Palace, Georgia has 10 athletes competing, 8 men and 2 women. Artworks describing the historical and cultural Georgian monuments are going on display at the State Museum of Theater, Music, Cinema, and Cinematography in Tbilisi. The exhibition contains 200 paintings by German painter Werner Rüdiger. Rüdiger traveled around Tau Kargeleti, which is now part of Turkey, and painted Georgian churches and historical monuments that are today in poor condition, then decided to give the paintings to Georgia. From August 2015, translated Georgian literature will be available online in dozens of languages. The National Book Center, the National Library of Parliament, signed a memorandum on collaboration on the 7th of April to make the database. The National Parliamentary Library has a new campaign to collect digital versions of Georgian artist work that are in private archives. Already within the project, 2 unknown pieces by Pirosmani were discovered. One of the paintings is titled Funicular. Pirosmani drew it when the funicular opened in 1905, and a piece called Arsenal Hill at Night, which was sold in Russia to a private collector and then made its way to France. When the Arsenal Hill at Night went to auction in 2003 for the first time, it sold Sotheby's for $1.8 million. Pirosmani produced over 1,000 pieces in his life, but not many have survived. So now these paintings are digitalized and on exhibition at the National Public Library. A new computer game called Peace Park was introduced for kids in Georgia, Abkhazia, and South Ossetia. The game was initiated by UNDP and EU. The aim is to create an online peace-building space for youth divided by conflict. The game presents a virtual landscape where gamers need to work together to ensure that park visitors have a happy and peaceful stay, in effect, teaching basic conflict resolution skills. The game was tested among 60 children in Tbilisi, Kutaisi, and Zugdidi, and in Abkhazia and Sukhumi, Gali, and Ochamchide. Georgian martial arts will be promoted at the Natale de Roma Festival in Rome on the 21st of April. It's an international festival dedicated to the foundation of the city. The Georgian Shav Paros Nebi, or Black Shields, will perform on the stage alongside Roman legionnaires. The project is supported by the Ministry of Culture and Tbilisi City Hall. Georgian ballet dancers got top honors after competing in the Domenko Modungo International Ballet and Contemporary Dance Competition held the last week of March in Bari, Italy. Ballerina Ekaterina Surmava and her partner Fedulov Philip won first prize for the best duet and pas de deux. Dancers from Vakhtang Chabukiani Choreographic School took second and third places in the solo performance section of the competition, and 2 Georgian ballerinas were awarded second and third place prizes in the senior classical section of the competition. Women's national football team progressed to the qualifying stages of the UEFA Women's Euro 2017 Championship. The footballers will play home and away games between September 2015 and October 2016 in 8 matches against European teams. Georgian race car driver Shota Abkhazava won the AM class at Race 2 at the Lamborghini Blanc Spain Super Trofeo Europe held in Monza, Italy. Racers competed in identical Lamborghini cars. Parliamentary news on the 8th of April, the Committee on Human Rights met and discussed the illegal seizure of property in a closed meeting with representatives from the prosecutor's office. Committee chairperson Eka Baselia said they might introduce changes to the criminal procedure code, but did not elaborate. A new service was launched on the 15th of April that allows socially vulnerable families to receive the services of lawyers for free. The initiator of the amendment to the law on legal aid was Member of Parliament and Legal Affairs Committee member Zakaria Kutsunashvili. The state will cover the full cost of lawyer expenses for more than 200,000 socially vulnerable families for criminal proceedings and for civil and administrative affairs. The meme this week is a video of a security officer being secretly filmed playing the piano and revealing a hidden romantic talent. His friend took the video, posted on YouTube. It's had over 15,000 views. Stuff to read. Great new project called SahliArtifact.ge photographs the abandoned houses of Imereti. They're very similar. It's quite a well-done page, but interesting to take a look at. Paul Salopek has a series for National Geographic called Out of Eden, in which he takes a year-long journey walking from the cradle of man in the Rift Valley in East Africa across the world. He makes it to Georgia and investigates the science of wine and its origin. Melik Kailan writes for Forbes that Russia is planning a new spring offensive in Ukraine. He refers to Georgia 2008 and saying that it was not Misha's fault, but a Russian planned offensive under the cover of the Olympics. He says Ukraine is fighting back on the Soviet order by bringing in Georgian reformers. New York Times' Seth Kugel, who previously had travel pieces for Tbilisi and Sikhnahi, now writes about traveling to Nagorno-Karabakh. Following up on the story of the punk Easy Boys fighting in Syria, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, summarizes the role of Kists in Islamic State, or Daesh, or ISIS. The Telegraph has a list of Europe's 16 oldest continually inhabited cities. Included are Kutaisi, Mtskheta, and Yerevan in Armenia. The CRRC blog this week looks at whether there is room for a new political party in Georgia based on NDI data from 2012 to 2014. Democracy and Freedom Watch meets with Greeks and Armenians living in Salka region about their lives and their stories of how they arrived there. Read up on one of New York City's Georgian restaurants in the Village Voice called We Are Georgians is the name of the restaurant. As usual, everybody is very impressed with Hajaruli Khajapuri. Short clip on nepotism by the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia. Nepotism, they have an ad about the criminalization of nepotism. Take a look. Georgian Journal looks at how Lucas Cronick's painting The Procuress, estimated at more than $40 million, was returned to the state. The police spent 10 years searching for it until one day they found it simply lying in the street. It is a wild story. Check it out. All that stuff to read posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 11. That is how many Georgian restaurants there now are in New York City, according to the Village Voice article on We Are Georgians. 11. And how many in San Francisco? Zero. So, any Georgians in San Francisco listening, and I know you're out there, think about that opportunity. Every day until the 22nd of April, Amidani Cinema will play Furious 7. God, there's seven of those things at 10:30 p.m. In London, the Magpie Kitchen is hosting pop-up dining evenings of Georgian cuisine. It's on the 23rd. 24th of April at 7:30 in cooperation with the charity Roots and Shoots. Tangerines, the movie, or Mandarinebi, 90 minutes long, directed by Zaza Urushadze, will be screened at the Georgian Embassy in London Thursday, April 30th at 6:30 p.m. for Russell Gardens. If you're in London, go check it out. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Email is tblpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1962, words of wisdom from Bo Diddley. This is, you can't judge a book by looking at the cover.
Apple by looking at a tree. You can't judge honey by looking at the bee. You can't judge a dog.
at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Judge the book by looking at the cover. Oh, come on in closer, baby. Hear what else I gotta say. You got your radio turned down too low. Turn it up. Looking at the king, you can't judge a woman by looking at her maid. You can't judge a sister by looking at her brother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover. Oh, can't you see? Oh, you misjudge me. Well, I look like a farmer, but I'm a lover. Can't judge a book by looking at the cup, come on. Oh, how am I doing, baby? Oh. Yeah. You can't judge the fish by looking in the pond. You can't judge right from looking at the wrong. By looking at the cover, oh, can't you see? Oh, can't you see? Hey, like a farmer, but I'm a lover. Can't judge a book by looking at the cover.